Drupal Voices is short daily podcast interviews with people doing work in the Drupal community. Brought to you by the Lullabot Learning Series. This series of training DVDs and downloadable high-definition videos covers topics such as building sites using CCK and Views, basic and advanced theming, and administering and site building with Drupal. Each densely packed video is a workshop in a box. Learn Drupal from the experts at Lullabot. For more information about each of these videos, visit store.lullabot.com.
So I'm Ken Rickard. I'm a senior engineer and architect at Chicago-based Palantir.net. I've been working in Drupal since 2004, and most famous actually for launching the first U.S. newspaper websites on Drupal. So I've been around for a long time. And based on a project I had to do 3.5 years ago, I got involved in the Node Access system. Node Access is Drupal's mechanism for advanced control over who can view, edit, and delete content. Although that's the way it used to be in Drupal 6 and prior. In Drupal 7, we've seen some pretty fundamental changes, and it's really exciting. So one of the big things we're going to be talking about, actually, is the power of the community insofar as when we were at DrupalCon Szeged 2 years ago in Hungary, we had a talk that Moshe Weitzman and I did on Node Access in Drupal 6, and then we immediately had a BOF, a Birds of a Feather session, about how to improve Node Access for Drupal 7. And every single idea that we came out of that group with got into Drupal 7. And so I'll be thanking some very specific people about that. Larry Garfield was there, Dave Cohen was there, Chix was there, Moshe was there, I was there, and I think that's most of the folks. I got to go back and look at the notes to make sure I didn't forget anybody.
So that's pretty interesting because right now Drupal 7 hasn't even come out and they're already talking about how they're going to improve different things in the future. So you're saying that like 2 years ago, right when Drupal 6 had come out, there was still a lot of issues with Node Access that were talked about that have now since then got into Drupal 7.
That's correct. And I'll give you two very simple examples. Let's go with simple example number one. I said earlier that Node Access controls who can view, edit, and delete a node. You notice I left out the create of the CRUD, you know, the typical CRUD. Create in Drupal 6 and lower was entirely the province of the hook access function. Hook access was a function, it was a special hook exclusive to node modules, and it only applied to nodes that your module defined, which meant that if you were building a custom module for a site to implement some business logic, you could not apply your own access logic to CCK nodes, for example. You would have had to create your own node type just to enforce, yes, this person can create this type of node. Horrible oversight. And Larry Garfield said, no, this is just wrong. What we really need is hook node access. So what hook node access lets any module do is literally interfere at any stage of the CRUD request. Hey, I want to create this. Hey, I want to read this. Hey, I want to update it. I want to delete it. And you don't even have to be a node access module. I'm actually going to describe those types of modules, and I think we're going to agree going forward, I'm going to call those content access modules. Content access module does not use the node access API, which is a more sophisticated and complicated system. Hook node access is a very, very simple rule, and I can show you a module that I wrote for Drupal 7 in about half an hour that literally says, okay, you'd like to create a node on my website. Have you been a member for longer than 30 days? If not, you can't. But if so, you can. And it's like 12 lines of code.
So maybe you give another specific example of what modules will be able to do now that they weren't able to do before. Like maybe an example of a module that could now exist in Drupal 7 that wouldn't be possible before.
Sure. So the other huge breakthrough really isn't a breakthrough. It's just that we applied to the node access system the same type of hook system that has existed in the rest of Drupal forever. This was actually something that I introduced in the domain access module back in Drupal 5. The problem still with node access is that multiple node access modules cannot coexist peacefully, largely because the system uses an OR logic to determine access. So if you're using organic groups and domain access or organic groups and taxonomy access control, if organic group says yes, taxonomy access control cannot say no. That's a huge problem and leads to all kinds of core hacks and some really ugly stuff in Drupal 6. In Drupal 7, you have a choice of using hook node access, number one, or there are two new alter hooks. Hook node access records alter, which is designed to change the essentially the array of access rules before they get saved into the database. And hook node grants alter, which allows you to alter the permissions granted to a single user on page load. In combination of those two hooks, you can write custom bridge modules that say, okay, if I'm using OG and TAC, taxonomy access control, at the same time, here's how I reconcile those two. And you can do that in code in ways you couldn't before, although you could do it in domain access because domain access had those hooks. And one of the nice things about the way, you know, the sort of process works in contrib is we had those hooks, they worked, and when we went to make the argument that they needed to go in core, no one really questioned it. It was just, oh, of course we need that. So, yeah, you can now write custom bridge code if you need to. And, excuse me, it won't even be custom bridge code anymore because somebody very quickly will solve the, okay, here's how OG and taxonomy access control, here's how they interface, install this module.
I see. So kind of like a glue module to get some compatibility between those two, because ordinarily, like you said, access control modules kind of conflicted with each other in a lot of ways.
Correct. Again, and it's interesting, hook node access works this way as well. It used to be that hook access, you either had to return true or false, and poorly written modules might return true or false when they really should have returned null. And hook node access works that way. Hook node access can be used to assert deny grants in ways that were not possible before. That's the sort of other big improvement.
What's that mean specifically?
So a deny grant means you failed my business rule, I am going to deny you access. Really, in Drupal 6, the only way to do that is by hacking the menu system or using hook menu alter, essentially, which a lot of modules do. I do it all the time. Like, okay, I'm going to rewrite the edit callback for nodes. I have modules that do that. I don't need to do that in Drupal 7 because I can say, oh, you're trying to edit this node. Let me check this logic over here independent. And then in hook node access, I have the option of returning true, which will override every other module and say, yes, you can edit this. False, which will override every other module and say, no, you can't edit this. Or null, which means I don't care, you guys decide. You know, everything else can decide for me.
And so some of the more popular access control modules like taxonomy access control and organic groups, what sort of changes are on the horizon for those modules in Drupal 7?
That is a fascinating question, and I don't know the answer to it. I maintain domain access, and I just did a straight port. And I think the future is, I mean, most of those modules work very, very well for what they do right now. The trick will become, okay, who's going to release domain organic groups, or who's going to release, you know, taxonomy organic groups, which is that bridge code. Because I think the problem we're trying to solve is how do multiple pieces of business logic coexist in complex ways? Because it's not that there were flaws in the existing modules, it was there were flaws in the existing APIs. And sort of the big thing that's missing right now is being able to do these sort of complex AND filters on the node access table. The node access table is designed to write join queries, and here I'm getting really, really nerdy, join queries so that you can say, show me a list of everything that user X should be able to view. You know, show me everything that, you know, users with this role should be able to view. Right now, the node access API still only allows for OR logic in that. The problem is that doing AND logic in that requires subselects and other nasty database-specific things. Now, database the next generation will allow for that very, very easily. It's just going to be a question of how do we want to implement that at the API level? And I think the decision we made in SegEd was essentially that we didn't want to tackle that problem yet, especially because we didn't know how the new database layer was going to affect things. So that's probably the incremental improvement for Drupal 8, which is sort of sub-select-based node access, which means you won't need those bridge modules necessarily anymore.
And so are there any other big highlights from the SegEd conversation that happened a couple of years ago that eventually got into this new node access system in Drupal 7?
I have to go back and look at my notes. There's a page on groups.drupal.org that lists out, there were something like 6 major features that we wanted to get in, and they were all assigned to different people who were going to work on them. And I haven't looked at that list in 6 months. So.
You mentioned domain access. Can you talk a bit about what does that do?
So domain access is actually a sort of wild card in the whole access control medium, in that most modules like organic groups or taxonomy access control or content access really care who the user is, and the user is assigned certain roles and privileges. Domain access is a piece that I wrote for content syndication across a network of sites running off of one database. I wrote it a couple years ago, and it uses the inbound HTTP host to determine what site you're on, and it assigns every user the same grants, the same permissions essentially, depending on what inbound site you're on. So, for example, you could run all of the DrupalCon websites off of a single shared web server and never have to rebuild any functionality. In fact, we probably ought to talk about this at some point this week. You could have, you know, chicago.drupalcon.org, you could have sanfrancisco.drupalcon.org, copenhagen.drupalcon.org, sharing one code base, one user base, having separate themes, because that's allowed, but splitting the content based on which domain you happen to be accessing it from. That make sense? Mm-hmm. So that's what it's designed to do. And it's an interesting module. I was just talking to someone about it. It, in many ways, does some of the things that context does, but it predates context. So there's some interesting overlap in functionality these days. But it's essentially a cheap and easy means of content syndication. You can also use it as a very cheap and easy staging server, because certain domains can be labeled as offline, essentially, or, you know, administrator only. So you could set up, you know, staging.example.com, proof all your content on it, and then when it's ready to go live, push it to example.com. And you have what looks like a staging server to your editors, but isn't. And again, I mean, it's essentially free.
And finally, maybe you could just talk a bit about how you got into the realm of the access control, or the itches that you were trying to scratch.
The itch that we were trying to scratch was this. We had at the time a magazine that's still running on Drupal, skirt.com, for the company I was working on. We actually did a presentation about this in Barcelona and another one in Boston. And Skirt had the business model of there's a national website, and then there are city-based affiliates. So there's one in Charlotte, and there's one in Chicago, and there's one in Dallas, and there's one in Los Angeles. And the national editors wanted to be able to select the best content from the other sites, and they wanted to be able to spin out new sites immediately. They wanted to be able to say, hey, we need to get Boston up and running. And so we wrote this domain-based system that said, okay, fine, we're just going to use wildcard DNS, right, to allow the web server to return any results for skirt.com to the same Drupal installation. And then we're going to read the HTTP host, very much the way settings.php gets read now. We're going to read that and determine the access control rules, right? We're going to say, oh, okay, you're in Boston. Here's all the content that's visible at Boston, which is why it's an unusual module, because it's not user-based. And sometimes when we're talking about how is node access going to work, many people conceive of node access entirely based on the user account. Well, this doesn't care who the user is. It just cares what the user is looking at. So that's how we got into that. It was really, hey, here's a business problem that we need solved, and no one was solving it yet. And ironically, now, what, 3 years later, there are like three or four solutions for this problem, because now it's a very common, now that, I mean, sort of like Drupal's, you know, getting bigger and more accepted, and so it's a very common business problem. So what I'm finding is domain access for a lot of people solves problems they didn't know they had, and largely because it's been around and it's stable and it's got a pretty well-established feature set. And so it can really change the way you build sites, actually, because we're doing a lot of domain access work, where we'll be running, you know, five or six affiliated sites. I think we're building a site right now in Drupal 7 that's going to have something like 30 subdomains on it. But it's not required that you use subdomains. You can use fully qualified domain names. You can use different ports if you want to. You can do all kinds of crazy stuff. So that's what really gives it sort of sexy for staging, because you could very, very easily say, okay, so staging.example.com is only available on port 3000, right, and is going to be under HTTPS. And that's where we're going to publish all of our content initially. And then you could write some pretty simple bridge code logic to enforce that rule. You could make it so that, you know, you could only log in to post content to that site. And then another editor would have to come in and promote it to the other site, to the live site.
Okay. Well, great. Thanks.
Thanks a lot.